Chapter 50. Even sitting in the library, outweighing possible tales, Caris was finding that she enjoyed spycraft far more than she had any right to. For all that she'd thought that 16 years of being a bodyguard and warrior would have no transferable skills, it turned out she was wrong. Eyes honed to razor sharpness looking for the suspicious could still look for the suspicious. Looking for weapons was less important, but differentiating between the people looking with interest at the powerful and those who looked like hunters out for prey, that was the same. And now she had toys. It turned out that generations of whites had created or confiscated certain items that they didn't share with anyone, but she'd never had to use this one. She fingered the spiky choker in her lap, concealed behind a heavy manuscript on Atashian royalty in the previous century that someone had left in a pile. It was a forbidden magic, but in a very limited way that had been tested for safety by every white for 100 years at least. You had to wear it tight enough for 2 little spikes to reach blood. Then, if you were a drafter, of course, your own magic empowered the choker to alter your voice lower or higher. All the best things I learn, I can't tell anyone. She twisted the big ruby ring on her finger. Sometimes it felt like the only thing in her life that averred that her marriage was real. But even looking at it was too painful. Maybe it's time to come to grips with the possibility that he's dead. The hot, cold feeling that shot through her was so strong, it took her breath. She blinked, slamming the lid down hard. None of that, none of that. Kip said he was alive. Kip wants him to be alive. There hasn't been so much as a whisper of the prism. You think drunk sailors coming into ports are going to keep such a thing quiet? This quiet? I've work to do. Caris stood up abruptly and headed to the lift. She took it down 2 floors, then snapped her fingers as if she'd forgotten something, and went up 5 floors. Of course, if she were being followed by a rotating team, it was a worthless gesture, but one can't plan for everything. Don't overestimate your enemy's capabilities, the white had told her. Assume they're as prone to mistakes as our people are. Every time Caris delegated a task, she had fresh appreciation for the second half of that statement. Like when a maid had dropped a cipher out of her basket of laundry onto the floor. It had turned up, with the seal apparently unbroken, in the found items basket on the main floor. Given the sensitivity of the thing, though, the cipher had to be abandoned, and every spy or spy handler in the network contacted personally to be given the new one. And of course, Caris now had to remember that particular maid was either inept, unlucky, or suborned. The sheer amount of information Caris had to keep in her mind was ludicrous, and it was all far too sensitive to write down. 2 meetings this afternoon, and then 1 this evening with her most important handler, her hairdresser. His job not only gave him a perfect excuse to meet with Caris for long periods of time, it gave him cover to debrief the often nobly born spies he handled at length, and put him directly in the gossip circuit. The sums the man demanded, however, were mind-boggling. All of his tastes were expensive. Sometimes Caris still had trouble with that. I'm too cheap for this work. My roots do need some touching up, though. Is that more grey hair coming in? Black, this time, I think. Easy meeting first today. A new contact who couldn't be allowed to know that Caris was Caris, the slave turned blackguard Tyr. Caris had trained some with Tyr. She liked the girl and saw her as a younger version of herself, albeit one who was a slave and hadn't made all the mistakes Caris had made. Yes, other than that, and the colour blindness, and her apparel drafting, and that she didn't start a war that devastated the 7 satrapies, we could be twins. Still, she liked the girl. But Tyr was 16 years old, too young for the burdens they'd already put on her shoulders. Caris knew what that was like. Too young to be trusted with more than they had to trust her with. Tyr was working with people who wouldn't hesitate to torture her to get the identity of her handler out of her. Best she didn't know, even if Caris longed to mentor the girl. And what's that about? Am I feeling maternal? Or is it lonely? She ducked into the empty apartment she kept on this floor for this purpose, locked the door behind herself. The room was divided by heavy curtains, so she could question and debrief her spies without being seen. The curtains hid chairs, so Caris at least could be comfortable, and slits for her to look through. Precautions, precautions, and all of them for naught if the wrong person came walking down the hall at the wrong time. Speaking of precautions, as Caris took up her place, She picked up the male cowl and oven tail and pulled it on, draping it over her head and chest and hooking the cowl shut, so only her eyes were exposed. Ridiculous, but Tia was a smart girl, curious. She wouldn't be able to help but look for her handler's identity with peril. It was a little unnerving that the girl could see through cloth. Not as unnerving as her other abilities, Caris supposed. A quick triple knock, and then the door opened just as Caris finished putting on the choker. Come in, sit, that side. No drafting, she said, her voice lowered to an odd tenor. Tia's body was tight as lute string, ready to attack. The heightened awareness was a good response to fear for a blackguard, but tightness made your body slow. I was told to report? It was actually her code phrase. Good, the girl could follow instructions, even when afraid. And report you shall, little flower. That was the answer phrase. Now sit.
I hate flowers, Tia said. Did you know that?
Well, the handler did.
And what's going on anyway? I mean, I understand that the white can't meet with me personally, but two handlers in a couple months?
Caris's breath caught. There were other handlers? For a moment she was glad of the male cowl covering her face.
You know, I'm sure you have good reasons for hiding your identity from me, Tia said. And I'm doing my best not to look right through this curtain, though I could.
Good. So she hadn't actually tried. If she had, she'd have seen the mail.
But there are dangers to hiding who you are from me, too. If someone found our code phrases, they could replace you, and I'd never know.
You're infiltrating a group that would happily torture you to find out my identity. Do you want the burden of keeping that secret?
I can handle it, Tia said.
Ah, the bravado of youth. Caris missed it, sometimes. It was a good attribute in a blackguard, believing nothing was impossible for you. But it was also why blackguards had officers, and why those officers answered ultimately to those who were not blackguards.
In time, perhaps, Caris said. You are already carrying so many burdens, and so admirably. Speaking of which, tell me the latest.
Caris had received a brief coded report of Tia's assignments, all written on flash paper with Luxon igniters woven in, either to burn when tampered with or when she'd finished reading them. The report, like others, had simply appeared on her desk in her chambers. Through the slits in the curtain, she saw Tia hunch forward in her seat, propping elbows on knees.
The order tested me. I don't even really know how. They say I'm a light splitter. I mean, I passed. They said they would have killed me if I hadn't.
Tell me everything.
Tia told her everything, and Caris did her best, using the mnemonic tricks the white had taught her, to memorize every word. Caris thought she could see the outlines of how the light splitter test must have worked and was surprised that Tia didn't. Then again, Tia's mind had been occupied by other things, not least being forced to strip almost naked in front of terrifying, masked, leering assholes. When she thought of it that way, Caris was surprised Tia had done as well as she had. If she were honest with herself, Caris didn't know if she would have done as well herself.
Do you know your last handler's identity?
Caris asked.
I already told you I did.
Who was it then?
Tia's head cocked.
You don't know.
Do you have any reason not to tell me?
Pardon me if it seems strange that you wouldn't know. If you don't know, maybe I shouldn't.
Your place is to obey orders, Caris snapped. You're under my command now.
Spoken like someone who's served in an army, Tia said.
She obviously couldn't help but try to figure out who Caris was.
But things in this field are a little less clear.
Damn it, girl. I hope we don't get you killed. You're a natural at this.
And Caris couldn't let someone she was handling think she was inept. If your agent doesn't trust you, and you have to give them an order that doesn't make sense with their limited perspective, they might not obey it.
Feel free to speculate on my identity, but realize that the closer you get to the truth, the more likely you are to get me killed.
There's no benefit to—
I already told you the benefit. This is not an argument, Caris said sharply.
Even as she said it, she could remember her dearly departed father saying those very words to her when she was a girl. Clearly it is an argument, young Caris had snapped back. All her defiances had been petty back then. Tia's chin floated up.
I'm not a slave, she said. No one is saying, but I was one. And let me tell you, Slaves know how to obey an order without actually accomplishing anything. People like you think that slaves are stupid. Slaves are smart enough to use that belief against their masters. So sorry I did what you said, and not what you meant, mistress. I'm just a dumb slave. Treat me like I'm stupid, and you'll get stupid out of me.
The red in Caris reared up, and she nearly lost it. She was the commanding officer. She would be obeyed. But then, for an instant, she tried to imagine the white shouting at a subordinate. Of course, the white was the white. There was an institutional power in addition to the woman's personal presence. When you answered her, you were addressing all the weight of the Chromeria. But still. How large could the pool of possibilities of who had been Tia's handler previously be? Because the key wasn't someone who was smart and ambitious and willful. In the upper echelons of the Chromeria, that ruled out practically no one. The key was that the person had to be able to report to the White. The White's infirmity had confined her to her own floor in recent months. So it had to be someone with easy access to her floor. Who had that access? The Colours. But most of them have their own agendas. And they'd have spies tracking them too, because they're already so important. Who else? The Blackguards. Or Hollam have mercy. A Blackguard? Of course, and it would have to be someone who could juggle watch schedules so that he or she could report to the White immediately if there were an emergency that demanded it. That meant one of the watch captains, as she herself had been. Blademan was too straightforward to manage spies. Beryl was a gossip and had been since her youth. Tempus was possible. Loved his books. Good administrator. But he never got out. He was always either on duty or in his office. Blunt was too dumb. Not that he was stupid, but you had to be very, very bright to handle all of this. Unless he faked that. No, not Blunt. So none of them. Her breath escaped. Unless Commander Ironfist? The man was always working, always going places and meeting with people. Caris had always thought of him as a man who kept his own counsel, but one could just as easily label him secretive, even reclusive. But he seemed like he would stand out too much. Too famous, too recognizable. On the other hand, his official duties had him rubbing shoulders with everyone, high and low. If he checked in with the kitchens, no one would be surprised. If he talked with room slaves, no one would bat an eyelash. If he spoke with a colour or with that colour's personal guards, he was the perfect spy. His position gave him enough access and was so obviously impossible that he could hide in plain sight. Tia's handler was Commander Ironfist. Maricia, Tia said, apparently unable to bear the silence. Caris couldn't find breath.
Because when slaves aren't invisible, they must be beautiful. And when a slave is beautiful, she can only be good for one thing, right? Tia said.
The acid in her tone spraying all over Caris's face and burning, burning. Anyone but her. Anyone else.
Funny, she trusted me with her identity, Tia said, but to you, I'm just a former slave.
Caris had fought when wounded, had fought with that sick feeling that something was terribly wrong, but you couldn't stop to gauge how wrong it was. Stopping to judge meant death. It was the same here. Fight on, fight on. Turn your eyes to the task.
Tia was a good girl.
Defiant, but every blackguard had steel in them. Study her. Figure how to use her best, and don't let her get under your skin, either to anger or to love. You've got to keep your distance, Caris. What's the most likely outcome here? That she disappears at some point and is simply gone. That's what the Order does. We're going against them where they're strongest. They practically invented spycraft.
At some point, Caris said, as if the storm had washed past her without leaving a trace, they'll want you to steal a shimmer cloak.
What? Tia asked. She'd wanted a fight, Caris could tell. Without it, Tia was like a ship becalmed.
The White's been studying the shimmer cloaks. You need to be a light splitter to use them. We thought light splitting was a gift only given to prisms. We were wrong. But more to the point in your case, a light splitter without a shimmer cloak is useless. None of their current shadows, if there is indeed more than one, is going to give you theirs, are they? So if the Order can use you to steal a shimmer cloak for them, then even if you're a spy and they have to kill you eventually, they still come out ahead. If they distrust you, you'll be getting that assignment soon.
Tia slumped in her seat. She knew a death sentence when she heard it.
You have to understand, Tyr, the Order are masters of subterfuge. They're very, very good at finding and killing spies.
Tyr turned and looked at the curtain between them. Her eyes were dead.
You expect me to fail? That's why you can't let me know who you are. Odds are.
There was only bitterness and resignation in Tyr's voice. The sound of a soldier sent to die who thinks his death won't even accomplish anything.
So what do I do? Feed that perception that I'm a clueless young girl?
Pretending to be stupid enough that she couldn't be used by their enemies, but still smart enough that the Order would trust her? It would be a difficult line to tread. Impossible for one so young. Suddenly, Caris remembered what it was like to have her future taken out of her hands and decided by her elders, to be thought beneath consideration. She'd hated it, railed against it, and finally she'd left a wake of destruction rebelling against it. She was still paying the price of that rebellion and still dodging the cost of it. The son she'd abandoned, the damnation she felt. With an uncertain hand, Caris pulled open the curtain. Tyr looked up, jaw clenched, scared. Caris unsnapped the voice-modifying choker. She took off the male cowl and oven tail.
So, she said, now we're in this together.
Tears welled up in Tyr's eyes.
I hoped it would be you, she said.